everyone, and welcome to Minute 45 of Season 3 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1988 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off the week is Travis Bowe of the Real Comics Heroes podcast, the Marvel Events Timeline podcast, the Watchmen Minute by Minute podcast, and probably lots of other stuff too. And, you know, who knows? So, welcome back, Travis.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm glad you are too. Let's hope at the end of today you're still glad to be here and you're not being hauled off in chains. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. So minute 45 begins with McClane finishing his report and ends with a single shot heard as McClane talks into his CB. All right, so yesterday we ended the minute with John showing up on the roof of the Nakatomi building and has decided to use the walkie-talkie and get on Channel 9 and complain about, or not really complain, and actually report what's going on. All right, so yesterday he started with his complaint, and today he continues with it by saying, Century City. You know, he was talking about the fact that there are armed terrorists with automatic weapons that have taken over the Nakatomi Plaza in Century City. At this point, we then get a shot of the terrorists who are looking at the CB by them, that they've heard everything being said. And then the question is asked, where's the best place to transmit? And then it switches back to John, and we hear him say, somebody answer me, God damn it. And then Hans figures it out and goes, the roof, go, go. And then we see a shot of a policewoman or someone, an emergency response operator, you know, sitting there. Dispatcher, there you go, that's the word. And she goes, it's the same address as that fire signal. And then another woman who's standing by her, which we assume is her supervisor, says, I'll handle it. Right. So first of all, let before we get into where the conversation goes from here. So, you know, McClane is giving over a lot of info. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not concerned about the fact that Hans and his cohorts are going to hear him say this. You know, I don't know enough about CBs to know, you know, how many different channels there are and, you know, are they monitoring every channel or whatever? Right. But apparently they are monitoring Channel 9, you know. It's interesting that Hans questions where he would be transmitting from, but he isn't really concerned about the how.
Yeah.
You know, like he doesn't say, oh, well, you know, where's he got the CB from? You know, does he automatically know that, you know, he wasn't concerned when we found Tony earlier this week that, okay,
sure,
where's Tony's bag?
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, John taunts him that he has a machine gun, but he doesn't say, I have a machine gun, I have a lighter, I have cigarettes, I have, you know, a CB. You know,
yeah.
He doesn't mention any of these things. So I find it's a little strange that it goes, you know, under the radar here, that nobody really cares that John has this stuff.
Yeah, I think it should generally assume that this would have been in everyone has their own radio, I would think, or for the most part. So he knows that he got it from Tony.
Right. Okay. No, obviously. But I'm saying he's just not concerned about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he's surprised. Yeah.
Well, no, he is surprised because later on he will say, I thought I told everyone not to say anything.
Mm.
And then John goes, well, I didn't get that message. You know, I didn't see that on the bulletin board or whatever it was. So I guess he forgets. He forgets in the interim weeks, you know, that he's missing one of his CBs.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, Hans, when he says the roof, he says it in a very cold fashion also.
Yeah.
You know, he like figures it out very coldly the way that it is. And then at this point, Carl stands up and then Franco throws him a bag. And then Carl, Franco and Fritz all leave Holly's office. You know, in a rapid succession, I guess you can say. So then we were dealing with the Nolan dispatcher, and we see on the screen in front of her, it says Nakatomi Plaza, 2121 Avenue of the Stars, LA, California, 90213. And then it has emergency contacts. It says the security office, and then it has a phone number, and it's not a typical 555
Five,
number that
yeah.
we usually get. It's a 203 number. And then it has the number of the building manager, which is also a 203 number. And then it actually says on the screen also the fire alarm code,
Yeah.
which is quite clever because, a few weeks ago, Hans said to Eddie, give them the guard's name and the code.
Right.
So I wonder if the code he needed to give was this code.
Probably, yeah, that makes sense.
So I find that interesting. And at this point, the supervisor then plugs her headset into the call, and she continues by saying, she says, "I'll handle it." And then she goes, "Attention, whoever you are, this channel is reserved for emergency calls only." And I've always loved John's response to this. John goes, "No
Yeah.
f-ing shit, lady. Do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?"
Yeah, that's great.
It's a great line. It really is. I
Yeah.
mean, it's a little excessive, but it's just great
Yeah.
because Bruce Willis is able to deliver that line in such a great fashion, the way that he does that. So, since we mentioned pizza, what can you tell me about pizza, Travis?
It's great. There's no rate no there's no bad pizza. Pizza's just great.
Okay.
And
That's a fair statement.
I think it's one of those that I think it originated in America, even though it's meant to be a ba it's based off an Italian thing. I could be wrong about that.
You are.
Okay, yeah.
But now you'll learn what at least
Yeah.
the truth of Wikipedia has that. It could be that it's wasn't Stephen Colbert that talked about Wikipedia about
Sure.
truthiness? So you never know if it's really
Yeah.
true or not. So according to Wikipedia, pizza is a dish of Italian origin consisting of a usually round flat base of leavened wheat based dough topped with tomatoes, cheese, and often various other ingredients, such as various types of sausage, anchovies, mushrooms, onions, olives, vegetables, meat, ham, etc., which is then baked at a high temperature, traditionally in a wood-fired oven. A small pizza is sometimes called a pizzetta. Okay, and what would you call a person who makes pizza? Do you have any idea?
I'm trying to take barista and make a pizza version of that because
Yeah, but that's Spanish. So,
is
and
it
this is
I just
Italian.
assume
Isn't barista Spanish?
well I don't know
Oh, okay.
I thought it was Italian
Oh, I could
based
be
on
wrong. I
like
don't know.
all the Roman languages are all kind of based on the same
Okay. There's some links there.
essentially
Okay.
so no I don't know what a
Okay, so it's a pizzaiola. So it's
Okay.
Pizzaiolo.
Pizziola.
Pizziola. Yeah. So in Italy, in many restaurants, pizza is actually served unsliced, and people eat it with a fork and a knife. We're all more familiar with the fact that it's cut into eight wedges, usually eight, to be eaten
Yeah.
while held in the hand. Okay, so when do you think the term pizza was first recorded? Pizza.
I mean, I would guess the 1800s. I have no idea.
Okay, it was first recorded in the 10th century
Oh,
in
wow.
an Italian manuscript that they found in a town called Gaeta, Gaeta.
Okay.
But modern pizza was invented in Naples. Okay, and
Makes
right,
sense.
it has become one of the most popular foods in the world, and is a very common fast food item in most countries around the world. In 2017, the world pizza market was over $128 billion. That's just absurd, that number.
Yeah,
And how much
wow.
of that do you think was in America?
Probably a healthy chunk of it.
Yes, 44 billion. Okay, so we're talking 2/3 to 40%, you know. Actually, it's, no, if it's 128, it's a little, I think a little bit, it's around 40%, yeah. No, a little less, I think. It's 44 billion over, that's spread out over 76,000 pizzerias. Okay, what percentage of people in America eat pizza on a given day? Okay, today. Okay. Well, actually, today's probably not a good day to choose.
But on a given day, how many
No, because
people?
of,
I would say
yeah.
it's
What percentage?
60%.
No, 13%. But that's still pretty high. You know, considering how many millions or billions of people. Wait, there are a million. Yeah, there are a lot of people in America. And there are a lot of people eating pizza every day. Okay, so there is a legend that the pizza margherita, which is what we're used to, which is the normal pizza, you know, just cheese and tomato sauce and maybe a little spices on it. Okay, that was invented in 1889. Okay, nobody knows if this story is true or not. When the Royal Palace of Capodimonte commissioned the Neapolitan pizza maker Rafael Esposito to create a pizza in honor of the visiting Queen Margherita. Okay, he created three different types of pizzas, but the one that she loved the most was the one that had the colors of the Italian flag: red tomatoes, green for basil, and white the mozzarella cheese. Supposedly, this kind of pizza was then named after the queen, although later research cast doubt on this legend. An official letter of recognition from the Queen's head of service remains on display in Esposito's shop, which is now called the Pizzeria Brandi. The first pizzeria in America opened in 1905. After World War II, when a lot of U.S. soldiers served in Italy, they came back to America, and that's when pizza became even more popular.
That's what I was thinking of earlier when I said it was an American thing.
Okay. That's fine. Okay, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, how big do you think the largest pizza was?
I'm sure I know I've seen it before, but no, I can't, I don't recall. I don't know.
Okay, it was prepared in Rome. It was 13,570 square feet, which is 1,261 square meters. Okay, that's just
That's insane.
amazing. That size. Yeah. Okay, what is the world's record for the longest pizza?
I mean, given the other one is so huge, I don't know. 1,000 feet? I don't know. Something
No,
ridiculous.
it's six times that amount. It's 6,333 feet long, 1,930 meters long. And that was made in California in 2017. What is the most expensive commercially available pizza?
I don't know. I bet it has Wagyu beef on it or other expensive toppings. I don't know.
It cost $2,700. Okay, it was sold in New York on April 24th, 2017, and it was made of black squid dough with white Stilton cheese, French foie gras and truffles, acetra caviar from the Caspian Sea, Almas caviar, and 24-karat
Jeez.
gold leaves.
There were probably, 100 other better pizzas in a, 5 block area from wherever that was made.
I would probably agree with that statement. Yes. He makes the pizza comment, and then the shot changes to the elevator, and we see Carl and Fritz and Franco coming up the elevator. Each of them is doing something different. It's very funny. You know, they only have like three floors to go up or four floors. It's not very far journey for them, but Carl is
Looks like you're in a
assembling his
freight
gun.
elevator type.
Okay.
It's not like a,
Yeah.
it doesn't look like, your standard tourist elevator, whatever. So it probably just
Yeah,
goes up a little
exactly.
slower, so they've got more time
Could be.
to look. And I noticed two of the guys, I guess Fritz and what was the other guy?
Franco.
Franco. They kind of look at each other nervously, I think, as they're seeing Carl get ready.
Yeah.
I think they're maybe a little worried about, you know, is this guy, you know, he's on the edge or whatever.
Right. Could be. So Carl is assembling his gun. Fritz is smoking a cigarette. Franco starts taking off his jacket.
Yeah.
Okay. And then at this point, Carl says to them, "No one kills him but me." And then the doors open. Both Fritz and Franco cock their guns, which is the proper way to do it. Unlike what Tony did last week, which caused his death partially. You know, he says, "I won't hurt you," and then he cocks his gun. You know, that's not an effective way to do it. And then we go back to a shot of John on the roof where he goes, "They have already killed one hostage. They're fortifying their positions while you're jerking on the radio. Now send the police back up ASAP." Okay. Now, do you know, I'm assuming you know what ASAP stands for?
As soon as possible.
Soon as possible, which is basically at one's earliest convenience at the earliest possible time. Okay. And her response is, "Sir, I've already told you, this is a reserve channel. If this is an emergency call, dial 911 on your telephone. Otherwise, I'll have to report this as an FCC violation."
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm wondering why she assumes he's on a telephone. Because obviously he's not. He can't dial 911.
No, she knows he's not on the telephone, but she's saying if you have an emergency, call on a phone. Don't use
it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, she knows that this is going over a radio frequency.
You're right.
Okay. She mentions that it's an FCC violation. So yeah. I actually found out there are basically a few laws that John could theoretically be breaking here. Mm. Okay. What would you think? What type of laws do you think are FCC violations that could possibly be the what she's referring to?
Yeah, I know the obscenities, you know, using language.
Okay, that's a good one.
I did look that up, and that could land him a $500 fine per violation. And in this minute, and I think one in the previous minute, means he owes, I guess, L.A. $2,500.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Then there's, I would assume, making a fraudulent, you know, police report or fraudulent call or something to the effect of
hoax. It's illegal to broadcast a hoax.
Yeah.
Okay. Which again, she doesn't know if this is a real crime or not. You know, he's just you know, screaming and saying this. Okay. Then there are two others that I found that is possible. What he's breaking the law. He's a willful or malicious interference complaint. Okay. Meaning someone who's just, you know, someone who shouldn't be
on their channel.
They shouldn't be on the channel and shouldn't be doing anything. Okay. And there are actually two divisions of the FCC that handle these type of complaints. Right. And they involve non-technical broadcast issues, such as broadcast of obscene or indecent material, as you mentioned, hoaxes, licensee conducting contests, and broadcasts of telephone conversations. Okay, that's one. And then you have the other one that deals with complaints that involve technical broadcast rules such as interference, excessive power, construction, and or operation outside of the scope of station authorization, and unlicensed operation of broadcast station. But so that refers more to someone, you know, using a fake radio station type of thing.
Okay.
Okay. So, and you mentioned the whole thing about hoaxes, and the final thing that it possibly could be is the unauthorized broadcast, right? Okay. The use or operation of any apparatus for the transmission of energy or communications or signals by radio without a license issued by the FCC. Okay. I've always believed that her complaint was that he's making a false report. You know, I don't think it's the obscenity thing, but after looking it up and realizing that it is against the law, you know, is she basically threatening him that you're cursing, or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's more the, you need to stay off this channel because it's reserved
for a real emergency.
Emergency. Yeah.
Not terrorists taking over the Nakatomi Plaza. Come on.
Yeah.
That's not a real emergency.
Right. Who could possibly. Yeah. Yeah, I've never loved this little portion of the. I mean, it makes sense enough that they've had the false fire alarm, so they have reason, I guess, to doubt the validity of this call. But he sounds serious. You know, his initial report is very like, here's the nuts and bolts, what you need to know. They're hostages. They're terrorists. They've got this kind of weaponry, you know, and then it just gets dismissed so casually that then he does get upset and start to, you know, effing and jeffing around and talking about pizza, you know, things like that, that obviously that isn't helping him. So, but we need this tension to keep building, and by keeping the cops doubting that there's a problem here, obviously that helps delay that.
So. Yeah, that's true. And his response to her is fine, report me. Come the fuck down here and arrest me.
I do like that.
Just send the police now.
Yeah.
Again, it's excessive, but you can tell how agitated he is, and it makes sense for him to make a comment like this. There's no question about that. You know, and you know, we know how sincere he is, but she for some reason is just not taking this seriously.
Right.
You know. And that's pretty much how this minute ends, because as John says that, we hear a shot. You know, in the distance.
Yeah.
Which people, you'll all have to come back on Monday to hear what that shot is and what's really going on there.
Something that is done a lot in this movie and multiple movies, and I don't understand. I haven't used a radio like this enough. I thought they only transmit when you're holding a button down, which I could see at the end of the minute here. I understand why they hear gunshots, because he's talking as he gets shot at. So I get why they would hear that for a second. But then there's other points in the movie where it seems like the other side will hear just about everything. There's one instance where like Al gets clued in, like, hey, something's happening, where no one would have been holding down the button.
Right.
You know,
right.
I forget what moment it is, but yeah, I never know if it's just movie, you know, shortcuts that they want multiple sides to be in on the conversation, or I don't know.
No, I mean, you do need to hold down on the walkie-talkie. There's no question about that. You need to hold down the button, but from the shots in this scene, at least, we do see that he is holding the button down. You see his thumb.
Yeah. No, this scene, I think holds up.
I didn't notice any shots where he doesn't have his thumb on the side. Whether he's actually applying pressure and pushing the button down or not, I can't really tell you. Okay. But his thumb is there. You know, it's in the proper location.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to say about this minute before we get into the script?
No, I'm good.
All right. So the script has, once again, a few minor discrepancies. Nothing major, but there are some interesting things to point out here. So when Carl and Hans hear John on the CB, so the script says that Carl looks almost satisfied, meaning he's so happy that they found out that John is still doing stuff, that he's able to do something, you know, that he's now able to act. Just, you know, it was just yesterday he was told that he couldn't do anything. Right.
Right.
And then there's a discrepancy between the conversation with the dispatcher and the supervisor. So the dispatcher says it's the same address as that fire signal. And the supervisor then frowns and says, the false alarm? I'll handle it. She plugs in her handset. Her condescending, arrogant tone is like the one in the famous tape where the dispatch lady spends so much time on red tape that the patient dies. That's the description in the script. Yeah, okay. Exactly. And McLean then also says, they've already killed one half the hostage, and they're fortifying their positions while we're bullshit. Now send police back up ASAP. So, you know, they changed that. I wonder if that was something that Bruce Willis changed on his own to say while we're jerking around instead of saying that. And then his final line is, fine, report me. Hey, come down here and f- arrest me. Send the police now. So slight, you know, discrepancy there. And then suddenly machine gun shells rip into the concrete wall in front of him. The noise is deadening. You know, so those are the basic discrepancies and changes here. Again, nothing major, right, nothing that I would say that, oh, they missed something here. I still think, once again, that they got it right in the, in the final cut with the way that it works out here. Okay, so a segment that we have every Friday is called Weekend Surprise. Okay, so one of the biggest debates about Die Hard, is it a Christmas movie or not? So, Travis, what do you think? Is this considered a Christmas movie or is it not? And, make sure that you explain your work.
Right. I would say this is a Christmas movie, you know, and not just because it's set at Christmas. You know, the whole reason he's in town, he's coming home to spend time with his family, with his kids. You know, she wants him to come to the house because the kids would love to see him. I think that in and of itself makes it a Christmas movie. It's the idea of someone trying to get home for the holidays. And yeah, I think that's enough.
Okay, that's fair. It's definitely fair. Thank you for that. All right, is there anything else you want to say about the movie in general? About something, that's not part of your minute?
Yeah, no, I love this movie. This is one I grew up on. Like, we had the...
Do you remember when you first saw it?
Trilogy.
Do you remember when you first saw it?
No, this would have been something that my dad would have just been rewatching, probably on VHS. You know, it's definitely a movie that would have just been playing in my house enough times that it became familiar to me. And then I never really watched the second one that much, like, you know, a handful of times. But then I remember the third one coming out, and that was a big movie for us. Like, I think we saw that maybe in theater.
Well, it came out in 95, the third one.
Sure. And we owned, you know, we had the box set of the trilogy on VHS. So this one and the third one were in heavy rotation at my house growing up. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. So in other words, I shouldn't invite you back if I do the second one, right?
Oh, I'd gladly talk about it, but it's not one I have much familiarity with.
Well, we'll change that. We'll try to change that at least.
Yeah. It's weird that so many trilogies from my childhood, I always like the first and the third one, you know, Back to the Future, Indiana Jones, this one. I forget if there's another. Oh, Karate Kid. Like, I just love the first and third always end up being my favorites. So
same way with Star Wars for you? You're not a fan of Empire?
No, no. That doesn't apply to Star Wars.
Godfather?
No. Just the ones that I grew up
Lethal Weapon?
Movies, you know. I never cared about Lethal Weapon.
All right, that's fair. All right, so do you want to, for one final time this week, tell people where they can find Travis Bowe?
Sure. Check out Real Comic Heroes, Marvel Events Timeline, or Watchmen Minute. Pretty easy to find all of those by just searching those names. Yeah, that's really all I've got to plug. So check that out.
Excellent. And while you're doing that, you can go review and subscribe on any podcatcher you might be using to listen to this show. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. You can find me on Twitter, and you can find me on Facebook. So, Travis, thank you very much for joining me this week. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me again.
I appreciate that. And until Monday, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.